Hello, this is Geoff Hopkins. I've been chatting with Neil and Chris in the Pet Shop Boys. I caught up with them on the day their new album Super came out, and I started by wishing them a very happy release day.
Thank you. It's exciting releasing a new record, actually.
Is it still exciting? Because you guys have been doing this for a while, you know. What's the main emotion? Is it elation,
if it wasn't
relief?
Exciting, you wouldn't be doing it, really. Well, you know, it's a long process making a record. We've obviously been working on this for about a 2-year period, on and off. And so when it finally gets released, it's, you know that one or two people around the world are listening to it, and it's quite a nice feeling.
Do you look at the reviews?
I have on this one because they were sent through to us, and as it happens, they're all good.
That's all right, then. I was going to say, they were all pretty positive.
We're calling it 4 stars all round, and that's quite nice. If, of course, they'd all been terrible, I would tell you that I hadn't read them.
We're talking about Super, of course. The 13th album, I think that's right, 13th studio album in your 30-year career. In fact, almost exactly 30 years to the day since the release of your first one. Why not just release another greatest hits?
We've done that, I think, 3 times. Nowadays, with streaming and downloads, all the rest of it, you can get all the greatest hits. You can make your own compilation if you want to do that. So it sort of seems a bit of an irrelevant format these days. So if we come back in a few years' time promoting Greatest Hits album, please don't remind me that I said that.
we'll take this interview clip out and I'll play it back to you when we have Pop Art Part 2. Now, I listened to the album from start to finish today. I was pretty much having a full-on rave in the car, minus the glow sticks. Yeah. Sonically, this album, it's very electronic rather than perhaps poppy, but by the same measure, it feels like a very natural follow-on from the last album in 2013. Was this always the plan, to make a couple of complementary records?
Well, the plan is to make 3, actually.
Okay.
Like the last album, it's produced by Stuart Price, and like the last album, it's purely electronic. There's not an orchestra or something on it, and that's what we're enjoying doing at the moment, is making very energetic electronic music, which and it's the first time we've ever been electronic purists on these two albums. And we're really, really enjoying that. And I think the combination of us and Stuart produces something quite fresh, which is all we're always trying to do anyway. I know we have a sort of quite a strong sound, so it's quite difficult to do something that people think doesn't sound like typical Pet Shop Boys. But I think on a lot of this album we've achieved that.
Stuart Price, producing this one and the last one as well, as you said. And producers having a much higher billing on records these days. You get a lot of songs that have, you know, the producer's name first, then the vocalist credit. But the producer's always been a critical component, haven't they?
Yes. I mean, nowadays, if Calvin Harris is a producer, he's the artist. In the past, you know, Trevor Horn or George Martin or Stock Aitken and Waterman were very, very famous, weren't they? But they weren't actually the artists. But I don't really think of Calvin Harris as being a producer, even though, obviously, he is.
This is what comes out the speakers, isn't it, at the end of the day?
Yeah. I think because he's making his own records as an artist and then getting guest vocalists, whereas your classic producer like Trevor Horn is working with the artist to, as indeed Stuart Price does, to create the sound. To help the artist achieve their vision.
Yes, Zach, you used the word I was going to use, vision. So you went to Stuart with an idea, did you?
Yeah, I mean, after we'd made the album Before Last Elysium, the one in Los Angeles, we had a load of songs that we'd written in the same sessions, and we suddenly thought, why don't we... We've got all these songs which are complete contrast, and also we'd written a couple of new ones. And also, Chris had the idea of calling it Electric, and the tour would be called Electric. And we suddenly so we made a new album 6 months after the previous one. And this started us on this kind of electronic path, which has just been really good fun.
I did feel like I'd passed through the looking glass on a couple of tracks. You know, Sad Robot World is quite a dark one. And as for the Dictator Decides, I mean, was this written about any one person in particular?
No, the lyric of the Dictator Decides was inspired. It was written as a sort of poem by me, actually. But it was sort of inspired by North Korea or Assad in Syria. These dictators have actually inherited their position from their fathers, which in North Korea is really weird because it's meant to be communist, and yet the guy, there's a hereditary dictatorship. It's like a monarchy, really, isn't it? And I just had this whimsical idea that the dictator knows the whole thing's a disaster and is as much a prisoner of the system as his people are.
So he wants to be as free as the rest of them.
He wants to be free like the rest of them. Sometimes you wonder when someone in that position, whether they don't feel a bit like that, they would rather go to Switzerland.
Quite. I want to play the song that I've been championing on this show for the last couple of months, The Pop Kids. Now, this was, I think I was reading correctly that this is the first one you wrote for the album, wasn't it? Or have I got that completely
wrong?
Or is it?
Well, no, because we started work on, was it Burn?
Oh, Burn comes from 20 years ago.
Yeah. So actually, no, that's not quite the first one. But we dug it out because we were going through these reissues and it was going to go on one of the further listening things. But
this is Burn, yeah.
I didn't like... it had one of my awful vocals on. So that's not going out. But the backing track was really good, so we dug it out and worked on it more. So that's probably the oldest track on the album.
And The Pop Kids was... probably started about 2 years ago, and Chris had written the backing track when we were on tour with Take That, and he was transferring this stuff he'd done on his own computer onto the studio computer, and this one really immediately stuck out. And I had an idea in my notebook, or my computer in fact, of a story of a friend of mine who actually moved from Birmingham to London in the early 90s to go to university. And he made friends with a girl and they went out clubbing every night. And he told me the story that everyone used to call them the Pop Kids. And I thought it was a good title for a song. So I've just really taken his story. And in fact, people are now calling him the Pop Kid.
Does he like it? Is he mind?
Oh, I think he's quite happy about it.
Oh, I'm not surprised. Yeah, you know, not every day you get a song written about you, I suppose. Something I notice about the album sleeve is that the words Pet Shop Boys don't appear on the cover. I presume this was deliberate and not a massive blunder by the designer.
designers never want any type on the cover. No designers want any type on the cover. They just want an image, and they'd rather have the information put on a sticker. But actually, it doesn't actually have a name on.
I've thought about it.
There you go. I think we think in the way music is sold and distributed nowadays. What you're really designing for is a little graphic that's going to go on Spotify or on iTunes, and it's a totally different form of design than a CD. But in fact, the CD and the vinyl is good. The vinyl is really gorgeous. If you're a vinyl collector, it's on white vinyl and it's a gatefold sleeve. It looks fantastically luxurious. And the design works for that, but it does have a sticker on the front saying the new album from Pet Shop Boys.
Which you can't pull off and tears off all the nice glossy
things. Oh, no, not
that.
One of those.
No,
oh,
I hope it doesn't.
How many minutes have I spent that. Trying to, you know, get the little sticky bits off, you know, CD cases over the years? Oh, I won't be getting one of those then.
No, please, it doesn't. It's on. It's very easy.
Good.
To pull off.
Easy peel. And away from the studio, you've got these concerts coming up at the Royal Opera House in London. I'd usually say at this point, tickets are on sale now, but I think they've all sold out, haven't they? So
they happily sold out in 4 days, yes.
These are seated concerts, aren't they? Because I think this is somewhat ironic.
We have actually, even though it's the Royal Opera House, we have created a mosh pit.
You have?
In front, yeah.
Because this isn't the sort of music you can sit down to, is it?
Oh, I don't know. You can...
I'd want to get up.
Well, actually, I think probably the audience will stand at the beginning, but there you go. But there is a mosh pit at the front. What is normally the orchestra pit is now a mosh pit.
Oh, good to hear. And Chris, will these concerts be the ones where we finally see you break into the most amazing dance routine?
I have done the odd dance routine. Well, not dance, walking across the stage in time to the music.
That's dance.
That is dance, though, isn't it?
Yes.
That's definition of dance.
It's definition of
moving
dance.
In time to the music.
Thank you. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. But probably not on this one. I'm going to be a rock star.
Oh, that's exciting.
Well, this is all news to Neil.
It's news to me as well, actually.
Yeah. God, we're making it up as we go along.
Yeah. Well, watch
it's
this.
Because of something like this, so we're doing three albums with Stuart Price. Because I just said in the middle of an interview, we're doing three albums with him. We hadn't discussed it at all. We're being rock. So Chris is being a rock star.
Well, rock star Chris, we look forward to seeing that. Guys, thank you so much for your time today. We'll catch up with you guys soon. All right.
Thank you. Thanks, Geoff.